Will you turn with me to John's Gospel, please? On chapter 16. I only really settled on this last night because I had it in mind to deal with Psalm 91, but my mind couldn't settle on it. And somehow the Lord turned my heart and my mind to John's Gospel, chapter 16, please. And I hope it will be profitable to all our hearts this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse number 1, please. And the speaker is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's saying to his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And here the Savior is warning his disciples about the weakness of the flesh. Not to trust in their own power and their own strength, because there will come a time when they will be offended. And then in verse 2 he saith, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." And not only does Christ warn them of their own weakness, the weakness of the flesh, but he warns them about the wrath of men, because men turn against the Christians and those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And I don't need to tell you, dear folk here this morning, that our nation is turning away from God, and we're turning against the Scriptures of truth and the teachings of the Word of God. Verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Now the things that the world does, they do it in ignorance. And here Christ is warning them of the worthless wisdom of man. For remember what our Lord, what Paul taught in his epistle to the Corinthians. In chapter 1, he says this in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Men, by their own worldly wisdom, have turned away from the Scriptures of truth. Therefore, they don't know God, and they don't know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then, in verse number 4, Christ warns them to remember his words. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." So here's a little group of believers, and they're gathered round the Savior. He warns them of their own weakness. He warns them about the weakness of the flesh, and the arm of flesh will fail you. He warns them about the wrath of man. He warns them about the worthless wisdom of this world, because God hath made the wisdom of this world foolish. And then Christ warns them to remember his words. Remember, he's the truth. And whatever Christ said is the truth. And this is why we can trust him. And always take him at his word. Now that's the introduction to what I want to bring before you just now. Because in verses 5 to 15, the Lord promises to send them another comforter when he goes away. And the comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven. And in verse number 5, the Savior says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." The Lord realizes now his time has come. The hour when he would go to the cross and lay down his life a ransom for us all. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he would return to the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. He's going back to the Father who sent him to be the Savior of the world and to accomplish the work of redemption. And he saith, and I think there's a gentle rebuke here. "And none of you asketh me whither goest thou." Just back in chapter 14, the Lord had told them about the Father's house. And that he was going to the Father's house. And Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And then he goes on to say, to teach them that "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thomas had said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And the Savior said, "I am the way," and they ought to have remembered that. But now he says, "None of ye asketh me, where goest thou?" And he's going back to the glory that was always his from all eternity. Mm-hmm. On verse 6 we read, "But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." So here are these sorrowing saints, these sorrowing disciples. But Christ is going to say something very, very wonderful to them. And Christ is going to comfort them in their sorrow. He says, "Nevertheless," in verse 7, "I tell you the truth." And the Savior is just emphasizing that what he's saying is the truth. And it cannot be anything else but the truth. For he is the truth. Now here's the truth that he's passing on to them. He says it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so the Savior is just saying this, "Look, I'm going back to him that sent me. I'm going back to the glory that I had with the Father before the world was. I'm going back to the right hand of the Majesty on high. I'm going back to sit down on my Father's throne. After I have accomplished the work, I'm going back." But he says, "It's expedient for you that I go away." But he says, "If I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, if I leave you, I will send the Comforter to you." And he says, in verse 8, "And when he is come," now watch this, "he will reprove the world of sin of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, go back there to verse number 4, or to verse number 3. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. He's saying the world didn't know the Father that sent me, and the world most certainly doesn't know me. But when I go back to the Father, I will send the Comforter, and when he has come, he will reprove, he will convince, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. They didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came forth from the Father, that he was the Son of the living God, who became the Lamb of God, who went to the cross of Calvary and hung there as the Lord of glory. And if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They crucified him in their ignorance. Oh, what a cry. And he says, they believe not on me. And further in this verse 10, he goes on and he says, he will convince the world not only of sin, but of righteousness. Because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. That is, until he would come again. And he would convince, would convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, who is the prince of this world? Satan. Lucifer. Son of the morning, who led all the angelic praises before the creation of this world. He was the anointed cherub that covered. But in pride, his heart was lifted up with pride. And he says, I will be like the Most High. And God says, thou shalt be brought down to the sides of the north, right down to the very pit. And Lucifer, son of the morning, became Satan, the adversary. Not only of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the cross of Calvary, the prince of this world is judged. He is a defeated foe. Christ defeated the powers of darkness on the place called Calvary. But not only did he defeat them, he defeated death, and he settled the sin question. On the third day, God raised him from the dead, and sat him at his own right hand, an exalted prince and savior. And from there he sent the Comforter into the world to convince the world, to convict the world, to prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Thank God the prince of this world is judged. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He's a living Savior. And beloved, he has sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And our bodies, as believers, are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And that's an amusing thing. Because just now this morning, the Comforter whom Christ sent, the Holy Ghost that came into the world on the day of Pentecost, baptized the believers into one body, the church. And thank God, when you and I were born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit came to indwell us, and our bodies became the habitation of God by the Spirit. And it's for the glorification of God, and it's for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Paul say, I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And while Christ is in the glory, the Spirit of Christ indwells the believer, that he might give us victory over sin and over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. Now, watch this. Verse 12. And Christ said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You see, there are still revelations to be made. And the most of the New Testament is not written at this time. Don't forget that. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 epistles in our New Testament, and he wasn't even saved yet. And what mighty teachings concerning the church and all was given to the Apostle Paul. And these are some of the things that they couldn't bear just at this time. But watch this now. He saith in verse 13, but when, howbeit, when he, and note the pronoun he, it's not an it, the Holy Spirit is not an influence, the Holy Spirit is a person, he's the third person of the Divine Trinity. And when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And saith Christ, he, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. And may the good Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. Our Lord Jesus Christ said he would not leave His followers comfort, yes. But that he would send them another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I read about what expositors say about this, they say that the word comforter isn't a strong enough word. But it really means one who is called alongside to help. Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, rather, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that the title that Christ gave to the Holy Spirit as Comforter is a delightful one. It's a lovely one. It's a God-given one. You see, our God is the God of all comfort. And the Holy Spirit, whom Christ sent into the world, is called the Comforter. And who can comfort the Christian like the Holy Spirit in times of need? Yes, there is a sense when he draws alongside to help, but he draws alongside to help, to comfort in times of need, of sickness, of sorrow and bereavement. That's his job, or part of his job in this world. But watch. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You see, he doesn't only come to convict the world of sin. He doesn't only come, friends, to show men their deep, dire, desperate need of a Savior. He doesn't only come to succor and comfort the saints in time of need, but he's come into the world to guide us into all truth. And we need a guide to guide us into truth. You see, dear friends, this old book teaches me, and clearly teaches me, that it is only those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are spiritually able to discern the things of God. Because, dear friends, the unbeliever doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. And this is why we need a teacher. This is why we need a comforter. This is why we need someone who can instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go and reveal God's way to us through the Scriptures of truth. Oh, beloved, the unsaved receive not the things of the Spirit of God. The things of the Spirit of God are only spiritually discerned. And the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, he hath come. Now listen, I want to quote you this. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. And what has he come to do? He's come to lead us. He's come to guide us into all the truth of God. When you and I sit down to open the Scriptures and to read the Word of God, at all times our prayer should be that the Spirit of God would open our hearts to receive the things of God. Because it's only the Spirit of God that can reveal spiritual truth to your heart and mind and to meet our needs. Our God knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is trust Him. Ah, but we need a guide. We need a comforter. And the Holy Spirit has come to dwell. And He's come to comfort us. He's come to guide us into all truth, that we should know how to walk, even as Christ walked. You see, it saith, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will instruct you. He will teach you about the truths of God's word. And he shall not speak of himself. You see, not only does he guide, but the Holy Spirit speaks. But he doesn't speak of himself. No, no. He's in the world and he's not speaking of himself. Who's he speaking of? He's speaking of Christ. He's speaking of the Son. He's exalting Christ. Beloved, listen. Christ is not only the living Word of God. He's the written word of God. And this book is all about Christ. And as C.H. Spurgeon used to say, each and every time he opened the scriptures of truth, he read the scriptures praying that the Spirit of God would lead him and teach him about Christ. His first thing was to do was to run through the scriptures and find Christ. Remember, he's walking down the road to Emmaus after he rose again. And there's the two defeated, downcast disciples. And he draws nigh to them. And somehow I think he gets in between them. And he puts an arm around that one and an arm around that one. He's come to comfort them in their depression. And in their dejection. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets and all the scriptures, he showed them things concerning himself. And this is why the Comforter's come. Yes, he's come to convict the world of sin because of their unbelief. Yes, he's come to convict the world of righteousness. Because Christ has gone back to his heavenly Father. He's come to convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And he's come to reveal things to us that Christ didn't reveal to them at that time. And he has come to guide us into all truth. And he speaks of the things of Christ. And he shall hear and he shall speak. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I will hear to that. And Christ saith, he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. But what a person he is. He's the Comforter. And he guides. He speaks. And what he hears, friends, that's what he speaks. This old Bible, the dear old authorized version, it's a great sword. It's the Word of God. And beloved, this old book was inspired by the Spirit of Truth. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author, the divine author of this book. And surely, if anybody knows the book, it's the author of the book. And when you and I want to know what the author writes, well then the author has come to indwell us, and the author of this old book will reveal the things of God to you and me. Friends, what he hears, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You see, he's the spirit of prophecy. But do you know his specific purpose for being here? It's to glorify Christ. For he shall receive of mine, saith Christ, and he show it to you. No holds barred. No shutters put up. Friends, look at John's Gospel, chapter 20. And verse 22. And when he had said this, that's the Lord Jesus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Friends, and so we have. The Comforter has come. And he's come to guide us into all truth. He speaks to our hearts And what he hears, he speaks. And he's come to show us the things of God. And he's come to show us things to come. And he has come to glorify Christ, that Christ may be magnified in your life and in mine. Beloved, he has come into the world to testify of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come into the world to reprove the world. He's come into the world, dear friends, to lead and guide the believer. What a terrible thing it is to deny the Word of God. Beloved, this is what men are doing in this day. They're denying the truth of the Scriptures. And I almost preached on Psalm 91. And the reason why I did it was this. In Psalm 91, which I believe is a messianic psalm, the psalmist begins by saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The Most High for the believer is our secret hiding place. The Almighty is our lodging or our abiding place. The Lord himself, the psalmist says in verse 2, is our refuge. And God is the person in whom we trust. And because God is our, the Most High is our secret hiding place, the Most High is our, the Almighty is our abiding place, the Lord is our refuge, and the God is our personal trust, then our protection is sure by trusting, by testifying, and by the truth of His Word. And He is our peace. And we need not fret. And we need not fear. And we need not faint. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come upon me. Come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall keep thee up in their hands, lest thou should dash thy foot against the stone. You see, beloved, this is a messianic psalm. Our Lord Jesus Christ, all the days of his earthly ministry, you the secret hiding place of God, he dwelt there continually. The Almighty was his lodging. The Lord was his refuge. God was his trust. And whenever you come down to verse 11, he, the Almighty, the God in whom you trust, he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now if you go to Matthew chapter 4, I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 4. And this is where our Lord Jesus Christ is in the wilderness. And he's being tempted of the devil. You remember that? And there were three temptations that came to our blessed Savior. And one of those temptations was the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. Matthew 4 and verse 5. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And this is Satan quoting the scriptures now. It is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, dear friends, Satan quoted from Psalm 91. But when he quoted from Psalm 91, he left out part of the verse. In verse 11 he said, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And that's the bit the devil kept out. Ah, my dear friends, it wasn't God's way for Christ to go and stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And hundreds of feet down below where the crowds are gathered suddenly jump off and land on his feet and he's uninjured. He's unharmed. And not a bone broken or anything like that. Oh, what a spectacular entrance. Ah, but that wasn't God's ways. Oh no, friends. We all know that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Ah, but listen, dear friends. God doesn't deal with the spectacular and the sensational. He deals quietly by the Holy Spirit in convicting men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's the still small voice that brings men and women to repentance and confession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that mighty? Well, friends, what an amazing Bible we have. And let me say this. If the devil had quoted the text correctly, he would have been quoting truth. And he was a liar from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth. You see, we want to twist the word of God out of its true meaning. Some time ago, there was a court case in England where two preachers were arrested for preaching the gospel in the streets. Some people said their message was offensive, and it went to court. And the prosecutor in the case prosecuted that case, and they were found guilty. They appealed it, and they won the appeal. But the prosecutor, the Crown prosecutor, said that in modern day Britain, listen to it now, in modern day Britain, quoting from the King James Bible is offensive, it was abusive, and it ought to be made a criminal offence. Now, he specifically mentioned the King James Bible, not one of these new translations. But it was the King James Bible, he said, should not be quoted from and should be termed as abusive. God help us. What is our nation coming to? It's ripening for judgment. Jesus Christ is coming again. But in the meantime, friend, the Holy Spirit of truth has come and he'll take this old book. And when we bow before it and we pray, Spirit of the living God, reveal Christ to me. He will. For that's why he's come. That's why he's in the world today.
So it was expedient that Christ went away. And it was to our advantage that he went away. Because it was only then that the Comforter could come and indwell us. And why should it be so? The Son came from the Father and had pleased him in every way upon the earth. He would die on the cross. He would be raised again the third day. He would return to the Father. His work is seen as completed only when he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and it is only then that the Holy Spirit can abide in the hearts of those who have been redeemed and born again of the Spirit of God, being empowered by the indwelling Spirit, that we should go forth and make known the Savior through the preaching of the gospel and by our Christian conduct. And it is the Holy Spirit's role to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Salvation comes when there's an awareness of the guilt of sin, followed by true repentance, conversion, and acceptance of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, thank God, convicts of sin. And the ultimate sin of which he convicts is not to believe in Christ, to reject him. Oh, he convicts of that sin. The sin of unbelief. Because they believe not on me. Beloved, there will they not. Thank God the Comforter's come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. He's come. He's been given. The early church was baptized into one body. And thank God when we were born again, we became members of that body. The body of Christ. But we should be being continually filled with the Spirit. For his power is easily quenched. And he's easily grieved because of sin. So let's trust God and take him at his word. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word to all our hearts this morning. We thank thee that the Comforter has come. We thank thee that the Holy Ghost from heaven is amongst us. And what tidings we have to go forth in the power of the Spirit and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But Lord, we cannot do it in our own power and our own strength. It can only be done by the power of the indwelling Comforter, the Holy Ghost. So take our thanks for being here this morning, and bless your word and bless your dear people. And as we leave the hall just now, we pray you will take us to our homes in safety, with the blessing of God that maketh rich, and which no sorrow is added thereto. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen.